I know you've heard that it's a matter of perspective, but whose perspective and from which perspective? We'll be looking at that and from a different perspective. And we'll be talking about some issues in the news, including a brand new blog from Yvette right from the refugee camps. All this on today's 485th installment of The Next Step. This is Father Voskin. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, connecting those dots and doing it for 35 years. This is The Next Step, and we're inviting you to take it with us right now.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes, welcoming you to our 10th year of broadcasting The Next Step. The Next Step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Voskin provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy as providing an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life. Since 2008, these next steps have been taken toward and for the disenfranchised members of the church community, as well as for those searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, as well as for the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
What a year it has been. What a year. I mean, we're not even close to it ending. We are broadcasting at the autumnal equinox. That's right. You're at the equator today. You've got 12 hours of daylight, 12 hours of nighttime. And unfortunately, that's right where it's happening. Disaster after disaster. What a year we've had. Yes, there's still 3 months left before the year ends. And yet, we've got records breaking. Disaster after disaster. There's people who want to deny that the weather patterns are changing, that the climate is changing, and yet one right after the other, Hurricane Harvey, Hurricane Irma, now Hurricane Maria, is just belting Puerto Rico, the Dominican Republic, people in Houston, people in Florida still trying to pull themselves together after the damage by the previous hurricanes. What a year it has been. Natural disasters, Mexico, did you see the size of that earthquake? Not only the size of that earthquake, but the damage that it is doing. I mean, they had footage of buildings actually falling, buildings actually crumbling. What a year it has been. And you know what a year it has been for baseball? Yeah, you heard me right, baseball. 2017, the most home runs hit. That was on today's news. That today's news had these headlines. You don't believe me? Go check it out. Google today's news. Natural disasters, hurricanes hitting, earthquake in Mexico, and it's the year for the home run. Makes you think, like, okay, what's the purpose of news? Are people taking things seriously? I mean, how do we get that headline in there too? Yes, 2017, the most home runs have been hit in Major League Baseball. Yeah, and now they've got scientists looking into the idea that, well, bats are being made with more denser wood. The wood is very dense. Heavier wood or different kinds of wood. The balls are more dense, and so the bat and the ball combination comes together scientifically to give us the most home runs. Now, how do you put that headline in the same list of these disasters that are happening? Well, you do, because news doesn't mean anything. Let me ask you this, that you know that there's a hurricane happening over there off the coast of Florida, that you know that in Mexico there's this horrific earthquake taking place. How does that change you? What does it do to you? How do you respond to that? Very likely, not in any particular way. Out of compassion, you may throw out a donation here or there. But basically, life goes on, and that's what the baseball news is all about. Yeah, all these horrific events are taking place, all these major tragedies. And on top of it, we've got North Korea threatening the United States. We've got the president of the United States getting off and hurling insults to the North Koreans. And now it's become a war of words, a war of willpower, of might. And we're talking about baseball. And after baseball, of course, we've got football starting right now. Yeah, so a few months from now, we'll be talking about the season ending for football. Then it'll be basketball. Soccer season, don't forget that. Baseball season coming up again. Spring training and so on and so on. We are consumed by these pleasures which detract us from very serious, horrific events in the world. And I kind of question, what is the value and the purpose of shoving cameras, microphones inside of these horrible, horrible tragedies if we're not going to react to it? Mind you, back in 1915, I'm very sensitive to it because 1915, there was a flood of stories. New York Times, in papers in the West about the genocide in Armenia. And basically, there's those three monkeys that we're all familiar with. If I see no evil, if I hear no evil, I will talk no evil. And that's about it. Let's just stay away from evil. And we have baseball. We have basketball. Oh, sorry. Yes, let's not just pick on America. Yes. We have cricket. We have soccer, football, as it's called elsewhere. We have all kinds of pastimes that take our mind off of big tragedies. And it's probably a good thing, right? Taking our mind off of reality. Isn't that what drugs do? And we come to the ultimate drug, when we could talk about things to come. Yes. This caught my attention today, on today's news. They were sharing these stories. And I shared with you that also at the end of it, they talked about the baseball phenomena of most home runs. Then they took a moment to talk about a Christian quote unquote prophet who has predicted that today is 33 days after the big eclipse that took place in North America. You remember that? Yes, I remember that. We were there, right? We broadcast, we celebrated together, right? Well, this Christian prophet has said that this weekend, a unknown planet or star, is it, will collide with Earth, and civilization or the Earth, life as we know it, will end this week because it is 33 days Jesus age, 33 days after the eclipse, and he's done some kind of mathematics and figured out this. Okay, now you know that there's always these kooks who are going to be talking about things like this. But what gets me is that rises to national attention, and it's covered. And so, it's not just about the news that I'm questioning. It's not just the news I'm questioning. Questioning how is that news served to us? What are the parameters? What are the criteria by which news arrives to us? And this was a big thing last year here in America, where we started talking about fake news, as if there was a news and then there's a fake news. No, news is news. It's something new that comes from north, east, west, south. Hence the word news, right? Comes from all around us. And we perceive it. And we have different ways of perceiving it. How we interpret it makes it fake or not fake, right? I mean, we all see the same things, but we have different perspective. You don't believe me? Okay, take a look. Open your window right now, okay? If you're on the side of the house, look outside, and you will see your front yard, your backyard, You'll see a driveway, you'll see something. Focus in on an object. Now imagine somebody sitting at the other side of your house looking at that same object. Would they see the same thing? No. They'd see the same thing, but they wouldn't see the same picture. There'd be a different perspective, right? And that depends on what position you're in, where you are standing, where you are sitting, where you're looking at. Think of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? The evangelists. All coming from different perspectives. Seeing Jesus, hearing about Jesus, learning about Jesus, and then presenting it to us from their perspective. Is there anything fake about it? Well, no. Just different perspectives. If you were a Jew at the time of Christ, you would reflect on Jesus in terms of your Judaism. If you are a Greek, you would reflect upon him in terms of your Greekness. I do every week, right? What is Armadoxy? We reflect on the teachings of Christ based on our history as Armenian people. And we put it together. We meld it together. That's the privilege, the prerogative of having a perspective. Now, you say, well, what is the truth? Well, it's all out there. And this is the question that I'm bringing up right now. Just because it's out there doesn't mean that it is true. It doesn't mean that it is important. Here in the United States, and I'm sure most of the world, you have, well, if you're listening to me, you have some kind of internet connection. Okay. In our house, we have the internet coming into it. It's being piped in through a cable company. And this is what we pay for. We pay for a very strong piping of the internet into our house. So a couple days ago, I got a solicitation call from my internet provider, Spectrum or Spectacular. I don't know what it is. Some Spectrum, I think it is. Yeah. And they said, did you know? No, I didn't know. Did you know that you qualify? Thank you very much. Without me asking, I qualify now. What do I qualify for? Did you know that you qualify for the television bundle? And what is that bundle? Well, since you have internet with us, you can have free television for a nominal fee of $29. Well, it got to me because those were the words she used, by the way. You can have free television on this bundle for a fee. So I'm trying to figure out, what? Free? For a fee? Did I misunderstand something? So luckily, before I could ask her that, she asked me, who is your television provider right now? And I said, well, we don't watch television. She goes, oh, you mean you watch it on your computer? I go, no, I don't watch television. And she goes, well, if you're getting it through the internet, you can now have... I said, wait a minute. I know I don't watch it. I said, what is your definition of television? You mean those shows where people just say, I went to the bathroom and everybody goes, ha, 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 ha. You know, the laugh track? Ha, 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 ha. Hey, where did you come from? Ha, 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 ha. You know, or what are those shows that they have? Some of those new games that they take offs on the old games. Oh, To Tell the Truth is now coming back. And What's My Line or stuff like that. You know, what do? Well, I work at the carnival. Ha, 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 ha. No, I don't watch that, nor do I need it. Nor do I need that. And there's this argument with this salesperson who's saying that they're going to give you a product even though you don't want it. You don't need it. And it's free, but you can get it for a fee, which I still don't understand. Okay. Now, the reason I'm bringing this all up is because there is a power in television. There is power in media. There is a power which is similar to the pulpit in the church, right? When the priest, the minister, the preacher stands up and he says this and this and this, there is a certain degree of honor that goes with the position, but also authority because by virtue of where that pulpit is. And so too with the television, there's a certain degree of authority. So the news comes at you. And so the person who is organizing and orchestrating the news, the producer, has decided that these are the things that we're going to be talking about today. And you take it at that value. So today, what I'm going to share with you is that there is an earthquake that has killed hundreds in Mexico. There is a hurricane right off the coast that has swept away the Dominican Republic, and Puerto Rico is underwater. The president is bashing the leader of North Korea. North Korea is sending up nuclear missiles, or has the capability of sending up nuclear missiles, and is testing. And on top of that, we had the greatest baseball season of ever, the most home runs ever hit in any season. 2017 is that year. Now, it's up to me to say, wait a minute. These are not all equal. But can I? Do I? And how many of us take that time to do it? So I throw this out at you because there's so much. We're going to be talking a little bit about some other things. Of course, I alluded to my anniversary coming up, but I do want to share with you this sense of lost perspective. USC, you all know, it's my alma mater, and I was very, very happy that for several years I had the opportunity to serve as the chaplain of the Armenian Student Association. It's very, very dear to me, and especially a project which we started off a few years ago called the Armenian Institute, which I was very honored that my deacon Haradek Medjan was not only the leader of that, but actually it was his brainchild that brought it about. Anyway, this week they're going to have a conference or a show or something like that called Innovate Armenia. Now listen to how they're describing one of the people who's going to be speaking. This is about a speaker who comes from the Mkhitaryists congregation. And I'm not going to go deep into it because I just want to use it as misguided direction, okay? 300 years ago, they write, Mkhitar, an Armenian monk, left his home in Sepastia, Sivas, in the Ottoman Empire to head for Venice, one of the centers of the modern world where the Mkhitaryan order helped redefine Armenian identity, reimagine Armenia's place in Europe and the world, and initiated a process of learning and reteaching that continues today. She goes on to talk about this archbishop. Now, there's no mention of spirituality, of religion, of Christ, or anything. And it's calculated. It's calculated. It's not there. Now, this would be akin to people who get up and talk about Dr. Martin Luther King as a civil rights leader, forgetting that he was a minister of the gospel. And he always made that point. He made sure people knew that. That first and foremost, he was a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so when he explained who he was, when he wrote out his name, it was the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. And whether he accepted that the accolades of reverence, he understood that title, Reverend, brought people's focus in on what he was all about. Now, I came across this small little blurb article the same day that I had a meeting with two Coptic priests. Now, the Copts, you know, they're from Egypt, Coptic Orthodox Church. They are sister churches of ours, and they've been in the news recently because they've been the target of terrorist groups, and they've given up martyrs for Christ. And these two Coptic priests, recognizing the importance of Armenia and the Armenian church, came up to the diocese, came up to our archbishop, and requested an opportunity to go to Armenia on a pilgrimage. And so I had the unique privilege and joy of being asked to help organize that pilgrimage. Now, think about this for a moment. As I sat there and we talked about the different opportunities within Armenia, what did they ask me? They said, well, I started to say, well, you could go to this monastery, you can go to this place, and these are holy relics that you could see, and so on and so on. And they stopped me and they said, wait, they said, thank you very much. But when we talk about pilgrimage, we're talking about going and helping and doing some outreach programs. Can you believe that? Well, welcome. Yes. How refreshing. They want to go into outreach program. They want to visit with widows. They want to visit prisons. They want to go into the villages and help with activities that will be bring relief to poverty-stricken people. Wow. Pilgrimage. It's a perspective, right? Same faith, but it's a different perspective. We have to open ourselves up to these different perspectives. You see, because our church has fallen into the trap, and most ancient churches have fallen into the trap.
Daddy, old man, you fell in a trap.
Of that news circuit. Just as the same way, we have all of these news items are in the same category. We tend to believe that everything that we do in the church is of equal importance and has equal consequence. Instead of understanding that the church was ordained with a specific and unique mission. I talk more about this in this week's Bible study, and I do invite you to listen to it. It's already on the internet, but there'll be a link on today's show notes. But also something that really concerns me, and it follows in this same line, why I'm bringing this all up. Because as you know, this is also the week where everybody's getting together. On top of all these disasters, you've got all of the heads of state going out to the United Nations. But in Armenia, there is a conference between the Armenian homeland and the diaspora. And there, the two Catholicoi are there. And they actually started it off with prayer when His Holiness Scott Akin II led in prayer and he gave his opening remarks. Then I'm listening to Adam Catholicos. I just barely got through a little bit. I couldn't stomach the rest of it. It's again rhetoric, right? It's again rhetoric. And he actually says it. He says the time for us to put slogans out and not follow them with action is over. We need to, it's a call for action. And that's beautiful. That's beautifully said, and we should applaud and everything. But where is the action that goes with that, right? How are we following through with the action? And these are things that concern me because it's all about, again, perspective, how we're looking at the same picture, the same yard, the same church, and how you look at your life, how you're looking at your life. You can look at it lying down. That's one perspective, right? You could look at your life lying down. You can look at your life standing up, a different perspective. You can look at your life working towards your goals. You can look at your life in retrospect and today as whether I can or I cannot achieve those goals. And it's the same life, just different perspectives. Let me take a break right now. We're going to play the song. I've got some great news coming up. I'm going to share with you some more stuff, including a new blog that's on its way. Me sharing a little bit about my upcoming 35th anniversary, how exciting it is because I've had a chance to really think about so many things. We just finished the Feast of the Holy Cross, so I want to share with you about that. But for right now, here is today's song of the day. I hope you enjoy it.
Thank you.
Hachiko Christos, your cross, Christ. Christ, you're about your cross. Hachiko Christos. This is a hymn that comes to us from Holy Week. And this particular version off of a set of CDs, The Music of Armenia, I got this many, many years ago. Wanted to share it with you today because last Sunday was the Feast of the Holy Cross. It was the exaltation of the Holy Cross. And I got to tell you, I was at St. Leon Cathedral where I had an opportunity to serve and be a part of the liturgy. It was probably one of the best Holy Cross services that I had seen. Services dedicated to the Holy Cross of Christ, namely with the Rahan, with the basil, and the blessing of the four corners. Just a beautiful, beautiful, uplifting service, as it should be, right? The cross of Christ, it's this instrument of torture, and yet it is the way of salvation. Very interesting, right? I don't think there's anybody else who does this. You know, they take the instrument that of torture, the instrument on which their Savior was humiliated and was executed, and that instrument becomes the symbol of victory. Wow! The symbol of victory. You get it? Like, this is bizarre. That's like somebody getting the electric chair and then taking the electric chair and saying, hey, this is a cool chair. Nobody would do that. But the cross, it's the instrument of torture, it's the instrument of crucifixion, obviously, it's the instrument of execution, of death. And we've taken it, we venerate it, we hold it up, and in fact, the entire story of the exaltation or elevation of the Holy Cross is about a group of people who recovered the actual cross of Christ, and lifting it up, they proclaimed their loyalty to Christ and to his cross. Now, you think about this entire story and all the beauty that's inside of these symbols. How could you just throw that out? How could you just throw that out and say that, oh, well, this is some national aspiration that we were after? No, there's a power in there. And Hachiko Christos, I wanted to play it because we are at the point of cross. Today, or this week, excuse me, was the celebration of the exaltation of the cross. In a couple weeks, we have the celebration of Varakahat, which is very special to me, being ordained on that Sunday. And then a week or a few weeks after that, there was one of the other feasts of the Holy Cross. And we'll be talking about that as we get closer and closer. But I wanted to do this as an introduction, Hachiko Christos. It also has a very special meaning for me. It is the first hymn that I had to fake. Should I confess to you, my listeners? Well, I'll tell you all about it. It's actually kind of a cool story. Okay, so I was 35 years ago, I was appointed as a deacon. In charge of a parish up in Santa Clara, which eventually became the St. Andrew Church of Cupertino. It was called the Armenian Church of Santa Clara Valley. And there, I had gone there just a few weeks before Easter, and I knew Easter week I'd have to carry that congregation through the Easter services. And this particular hymn is always a stumbling block. Always a stumbling block. That first year, I took the music and I learned it. I played it and was able to pull it off. Because if you listen to it, and maybe you can rewind it right now, I mean, it has some tricks in there. It has some little melody lines that you wouldn't even believe are possible, right? Hachiko Christos. So, I learned it, but it was always a problem for me until 1995. For my birthday, my birthday is right around Easter time, Easter season, my wife bought me this Apple II computer. This is when computers were just coming out. And I had my eyes set on this thing. I really wanted it. She surprised me with this Apple II computer. And one of the programs that it came with, including a blackjack program, which was really fun at the very beginning, came with a word processor and all kinds of fun little tools. But there was also an add-on program. It was called Music Lab, and it allowed you to actually put in notes of a song, and then it would play it for you. And so what did I do? I took Hachi Ko Christos, a song which I didn't even have a choir at that time. I mean, this is pre-church. We were there and we're just putting together the first people, human beings, first Armenians standing up to do the prayer service. I put Hachi Ko Christos inside of this Apple II unit, and we played it. And it gave us the background. It gave us the melody line from which we were able to follow with the words. And basically, the electronic revolution had touched the Armenian church for the first time in 1700 years. Actually, for the first time ever, 1985. Because there wasn't too many people doing anything with computers except, making their name appear in pretty fonts. So I was excited about that, and I just had to share that with you. Hachi Ko Christos, Hymn of the Armenian Church. It is sung on Easter week and at various points throughout the liturgical year in relation with the Holy Cross. Well, along with everything else, we're getting ready, of course, to celebrate the 35th anniversary of my ordination to the priesthood. That's coming up this Sunday. And I have to tell you, just a beautiful man, Father Harchin Tosjen, the pastor of the St. James Church, who is where I was ordained. He's not only opening up his doors, he's opening up his congregation, all of the love and the energy for me to come there and to celebrate my 35th anniversary with family and with friends. I just cannot thank him enough. And it's probably also because I just haven't seen this kind of true brotherly love in such a long time. So I really appreciate it. And we'll be celebrating this Sunday at the St. James Church. But along the way, it's also given me an opportunity to start reflecting. As natural, I think at any birthday you do this, right? You think about the year gone. You think about the time ahead, what you want to do, the plans that you have. You certainly do this at the new year, right? Which, by the way, I think today's Rosh Hashanah or something, isn't it? Today or tomorrow? Yeah, okay, tomorrow. Yeah, Ken knows, yes. So you do this at definite points on the calendar, and your birthday is certainly a date that you do this. And when it's rounded numbers, or like these concise numbers of 35, you know, the multiples of 5 are pretty hot. 35 is a cool one. 30, rounded numbers. You have opportunities to do maybe some more reflections on not only the year past, but years past. And certainly this year, as I'm approaching my 35th anniversary, it's given me a chance to pause and to really reflect on this ministry of 35 years. I was thinking about it the other day. There's this beautiful song by Carole King, Tapestry. My life has been a tapestry of rich and royal wools. I mean, the stories that I have are a testament really to how rich the priesthood, the life of the priest is. I mean, each story, I can't tell you all the different things that I start thinking about over the past 35 years. For instance, these Coptics that we just met with. We were talking a couple days ago, and I reflected on an event that took place in 1995. I was in Cupertino serving as the pastor at St. Andrew when the local Coptic community was going to consecrate their new church, the new edifice was going to be consecrated as a church. And of blessed memory, Pope Shenouda was invited. Now, those of you who know, Pope Shenouda was a very holy, pious man. And I was looking forward to the opportunity to be in his presence to be at this consecration of this church. And no sooner had the consecration started than it stopped abruptly. And all of a sudden, Pope Shenouda was standing in front of his congregation talking to them. And I all of a sudden got this tap on my shoulder. And it was the priest. And he said, can we see you outside? And I said, sure. What's going on? He said, we ran out of muron, of the holy chrism, the muron. And Pope Shenouda asked if there was an Armenian church because we celebrate the same sacrament. We are sister churches. We subscribe to the same ecumenical councils. Your Miron is our Miron and vice versa. And I said, absolutely, we have Miron. And I got a police escort that day with motorcycle police and everybody because this whole congregation was just waiting for the consecration of the church. And I got a police escort all the way back to St. Andrew, went up to the altar, got the muron, and took it back, and then was completely honored. I mean, humbled, honored, I don't know what the word is, beyond my belief when Pope Shenouda asked me to stand next to him as he administered the muron on the walls. And what an opportunity. And I look back on the 35 years. And it's one story after another that doesn't resemble the other story. And for this, I'm very grateful. I'm very thankful. And now we have a chance to reflect on that, but also to move forward. Because a very big part of my ministry has been to really define where we are as a church, where we are as a community. What does that faith mean? As I've shared with you in the past, there is something that is very troubling to me. It's the metaphor of winding up Christ, winding up God only on Sundays. In other words, we need to be able to take God and apply him to our life every single day, in every aspect of our life. And can you imagine what would happen if we were to apply God in every aspect of our life? Could we have peace? Could we have understanding? Could we have love? What would happen at that point? The possibilities are really, I mean, if you think about it for a moment, are remarkable. But we shy away because we have basically, as the poet says, we put him in his golden cage. And we keep him there for show on Sundays. No, it's got to be every day. It's got to be a reality that hits us every day. So I've had this opportunity also, likewise, to be able to process a lot of these thoughts. For instance, back in late 1980s, I was publishing a small little newsletter called the Nachagoch, the First Called. And it was a parish newsletter. And Archbishop Didon Nersoyan of blessed memory got a copy of this Nachagoch newsletter and, much to my surprise, called me. And we had a wonderful chat. Archbishop Nersoyan, a giant in the church. You get a call from him, it could mean one of two things. You know, you either start trembling, and both ways you got to start trembling. Yeah. It means that you're in trouble or, you know, he's found favor or something's good about it, right? Both ways you tremble, right? So he calls me and he says that he's the founder of the St. Narcissus Seminary in New York. And he said, would you consider being the editor of the journal, the St. Narcissus Journal? And I said, Archbishop, you know, wow, what an honor. Of course I would, but can we talk about it? And he invited me out to New York to spend a couple days with him. These were 2 days that I will never forget, to be in his presence, to be with him, to share with him. I went up to his apartment. We walked in the humble area where he lived. The neighborhood, we went through the neighborhood as this old bishop and this young priest walking together. That was a story in itself. there was a good chance that I was going to be the editor, and unfortunately it was very shortly right after that that the Archbishop went to his eternal rest. And so that one dream that he had was never solidified. We never finalized it. So I didn't become the editor, and I stayed in Cupertino, at which time I met a man named Harach Chilingirian, who was serving in the Los Angeles area as a deacon. And we met each other at a retreat, and we started talking about this. And he said, well, why don't we do it anyway? Why don't we put together a journal? And so was born Window View of the Armenian Church. And this was revolutionary back in the 1990s, 1990 to 1995. And we began this publication with a very interesting concept. We didn't want to make this a forever publication. We said, let's do it for 5 years. Yeah, let's have a beginning, but let's also have an end. It's not just going to go on. It's not going to continue forever. And we did it for 5 years, Window View of the Armenian Church. I'll have a link on today's show notes. It's fascinating. If you look at the stuff that we were writing about, not only ahead of the times, it's ahead of the times today. Just remarkable, one piece after the other. I mean, we actually had, it was a professional publication. One of the covers, I'll never forget, we actually hired a model who wore a clergy shirt, and we had a hand tugging on that clergy shirt with the caption that said, "Is the collar choking the clergy?" And we talked about issues of what it means to be a priest. We talked about the dumb priest, quote unquote. In other words, the priest that nobody really cares about to listen to, much like what most of the community considers the priest to be. We looked at the theology of revolution, the theology of liberation, especially because Artsakh was happening at that time. So just a fascinating journey those 5 years. Now, like it or not, we evolved as human beings who were writing this stuff, who were putting this stuff out, and we started evolving into the idea of a sociological approach to the entire religious story. In other words, how does religion affect our identity? Started questioning the entire identity issues. One which has been troubling from at least for the last century. One that people like Kushakyan, these great patriarchs had struggled with right immediately after the creation of the diaspora, we could say, right? Right after the massacres, after the genocide, with the diaspora populating. Like, what is identity? What is ethnic identity? What is religious identity? So there was an opportunity to start evolving and start looking into sociological factors, sociological consequences to our faith. And this issue of identity has always been a big one for me, because I realized that as a people, we had this horrific event that took place, the genocide, and somehow we hadn't dealt with that genocide. Even today, there's so many people that still haven't dealt with it. And as you know, the In His Shoes movement was started because it was a direct answer to that question. Okay, we have to deal with the genocide. Is there a way that we can deal with it and then do something more than just protest it as being victims? Is there something more we can do rather than just accepting the role of victim and becoming a victor as we are doing through In His Shoes? Not saying that I'm a victim, but because I'm a victor, I'm able to help other people. And this was the whole In His Shoes concept, which began in 2003 and has continued. But interestingly enough, now that we're reflecting on the 35 years, I found some articles that I had written. I don't know if we'll be able to put it up on today's show notes, but definitely I promise you, because we've got to digitize them, okay? We've got to somehow either take a picture of them or retype them or something. An article that I had written and had received a criticism in the Armenian newspapers back in 1978, in which I started expounding on these concepts of being the victor and accepting that role as victor as a means to play out our responsibility to the rest of the world. Now, there is a new article that came out by my friend Dr. Harach Chilingirian, who is now a professor over at Cambridge and Oxford. And I'm going to put a link on today's show notes so you can check it out. I suggest you read it, take a look at it, make your comments about it. I'd love to hear from you if you'd like to share your ideas with me as well. The article itself is about identity issues. It's about also about the changes that Armenians are going through, especially in the last 25 years since independence. And it's called "Could Armenians Remain a Global Nation with a Broken Homeland?" And there's very, very interesting insight. And like I said, I invite you to read it. The article itself, the content of the article is a little bit beyond what we do here on The Next Step, but it talks about identity issues. It talks about how to organize that next step of leaders or leadership that is necessary. And of course, it talks about the changing tides. Now, what I want to focus on, there's an interesting little correlation here with what we've been talking about, is about perspective. And basically, I didn't want to get too much into the article. I do want you to read it, but I do have to lay down some foundation. Okay, so how about this? This is quoting right from the article. Again, the name of the article is "Could Armenians Remain a Global Nation with a Broken Homeland?" by Harach Chilingirian. He says, "A nation becomes prosperous when all segments of society, with their talents, capabilities, and wide range of resources, are engaged in the process of building a preferred future." Remember that, a preferred future, okay? "In the last century, we have been successful in building prosperous communities and preserving Armenian identity in the diaspora. In the last 25 years, we have been engaged in the process of state building. But what we have yet to complete is the process of nation building." Okay. So I'm giving this to you as the groundwork. Basically, this is the foundation. This is where we're going to start from. So this is the interesting part that pertains to our discussion over here. It's called "The Past, Change of Perspective." It is a subdivision of the article. Okay, it says, "First, I suggest that we need a major shift of perspective in our national discourse from the past to the future. The past, our glorious and not so glorious history, rather than the future, seem to be determining what we ought to do in the present. In this sense, the wise remarks of the late Catholicos Karakin I of all Armenians are instructive. The glorification of the past does not mean turning the past into a worship idol. If we continue to glorify the past to a point that we are filled and drunkened by it, we would betray the past. We are a ring on that chain of history, which is the march of our life, spread over the centuries and striving toward the infinite future." Now, you listen to that, and you know I've shared with you many times, especially that story that I share about our portion of the history. Like, we often talk about being Armenian at the exclusion of us. We are also part of that entire chain, entire process. So I found this very refreshing that he's citing the Catholicos on this. Now, listen to this. "Seeing the present from the future does not mean looking into a crystal ball, but seeing the impact and consequences of our own actions and inactions today on the future, as well as determining where we wish to go in the coming years and decades. For instance, according to United Nations projections, in 2050, Armenia's populations will go down to 2.7 million, in 2100 down to 1.8 million, while Russia and Georgia will also see decline in their populations. Turkey, Azerbaijan, and Iran will see natural growth. We know now what will happen in Armenia's population in 30, 40, 50 years. 20 years ago, we knew what impact the oligarchic system would have on Armenia's population and the country's economic development. And we can be sure what we could expect in 5 to 10 years if the current system of governance in Armenia continues. It is in this perspective that we need to look at the present from the future. Brilliant, right? It's articulating what is so necessary, what we do all the time, right? I mean, looking at the present from the future, it's a different perspective. But it's doable. It's doable, and in so doing, it gives you an opportunity to analyze and to set your course properly. You know, Charles Dickens has that beautiful, beautiful story that somehow comes around to us every Christmas time, but it is so true throughout the rest of the year, too. It's called The Christmas Carol, right? He's given the opportunity to see the past, to see the present, but also the future. And at the end of that dream, right, what does he say? He says, tell me, spirit of the future, are these things that will happen or can happen? If I change my ways, can we see that the future will also change? And yes, that's the beauty. If you could see from the future your past, look from the future to the present today, change, alter the courses. And this is true whether we're talking about Armenia, whether you're talking about your personal things, or whether we're talking about the global situation, whether we started off today talking about these horrific hurricanes and everything. Like, can we see that life is, there's something wrong? That we need to collectively take care of our planet? That we are borrowing our planet from our children, and not that our children are inheriting it from us, but we are borrowing it? Therefore, let's give it back in at least in the same way, if not in a better situation than when we borrowed it, right? I mean, think about it. Looking from the future, the past. It's a beautiful, brilliant way of explaining this. And it gives you an opportunity to do what? To change, to analyze and to change. And it doesn't matter on what platform you're on. You're talking about nation. You're talking about the world. You're talking about your personal life. It's a unique perspective. It's a perspective that we're called to look at. Okay, I've got some other perspectives to talk about too. Some good stuff coming up, okay? I'm going to be telling you about a new blog that's coming up. First, Susie to make her announcement, and I'll share with you what's happening over in Europe. And Yvette coming up.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the 10th year of producing shows, which are heard around 6 continents. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement, and thank you for all of your support, your love, your energy, the nice words that you send our way. Got some exciting news for you. You know that Yvette Hovsepian-Bierce, yes, the same and the one and the same, that we shared her story a few months ago, and she went to Germany. Guess what? She went back to Germany. And just before she left, we had a chance to sit down and put together a few plans for a blog, a living blog that will be available to you, that will be available to the world every week. And we're starting it this week. You'll have a chance to read some of her comments. Now, here's a woman who has left all the comforts of home, all the comforts of America, to go and do something, well, that very few people are doing, basically to take care of the refugee population. We have an epidemic refugee population. It's never been this large, and it's throughout the world. She's honing in on the refugee situation in Germany. As you heard a few months ago when we had that interview with her, she explained why this particular mission, why this particular ministry was important to her personally. And again, you know, it's that same story of the perspective, right? To be able to look at yourself today from the future. Where do you see yourself? How do you justify things? And very, very important. The work that she's doing is perhaps the single most important ministry that can take place today in a world where people, and I really invite you to listen to her, to read her stories, because what she's talking about is a group of people that have been left as outcasts, and she's bringing together the energy that only Christianity can bring. She's bringing together the energy of Christ, the energy of God inside of the lives of these people, lives that have been torn apart. So her first installment is called Motivation, where she talks about the motivation. How do you get up out of all of the comforts? How do you motivate yourself to say, I'm leaving these comforts. I may not have a bed to sleep on. I don't know where I'm going tomorrow, except I do know that this is God's work and God will take care of me. How do you motivate yourself to move forward when you've got it really basically, well, you have everything. I mean, you know, nobody's pushing you to go anywhere, you know? And she talks about this. She talks about motivation, and she's just a pleasure to listen to read. She has a way with words, and so I invite you to this new blog that we're starting on In His Shoes. This will be Yvette's blog, Yvette's words, as she's ministering, as she's dealing with refugees. It'll be a weekly blog, so we invite you to become a regular. And like everything else on In His Shoes, Epostle, it's all for your consumption. It is put there free of charge to stimulate, to motivate, to inspire you to do the right thing. Listen, that brings us to the end of today's show. Got a lot of stuff, and I invite you to get in touch with us at all the usual places. This Sunday, we will be at the St. James Armenian Church in Los Angeles, and I'll have a chance to reflect, to pray, and believe me, you are all in my prayers this Sunday, and I ask that you keep me in your prayers and ask for God's guidance, God, the graces that come from God, for not only for myself, but for our ministry, for this ministry, for this beautiful ministry for which He has ordained us. It is a privilege and it is an honor, one that I take so seriously, and I'm very thankful to God. I'm thankful to all of you for all of your support and your blessings. Listen, this is an end for today's show. I want to thank you for joining us. Do reach out to us along the way. During the week, we are at Apostle. We're at In His Shoes. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all over the place, and St. James on Sunday morning. For the wonderful crew who put today's show together, for Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, on this autumnal equinox, this is Father Vasquez inviting you to join us again next week, 1 week after the autumnal equinox, to take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of Epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
To ask you if you're seeing the same sky as we are.